This is Age Well with Dr. Sophie Schutter. I'm your host, Fiona Mattesini, and if things like cellulite are bothering you, and we know they don't bother everyone, you've come to the right place.
There is also an injectable coming to market for cellulite, which could be interesting. Now, at this point, it will probably actually already be available by the time the podcast goes live.
In this ep, we also talk stretch marks.
If someone has stretch marks, I will often recommend...
And when it comes to body contouring, what can be done now?
It kills about a third of the fat cells in the treated area. So this does lead to a permanent reduction in the number of fat cells. So that's quite impressive.
As well as some brand new treatments.
There's a newish technique that's just launched in the UK, pioneered by an American surgeon called...
And no pun intended, we also chew the fat on a few other things too.
I'd love to see that ending because that's just not fair. It's just not what it's about.
Age Well with Dr. Sophie Schutter. It does what it says on the tin. So much great information, up-to-the-minute data and honest, trusted advice. Enjoy. Let's start, Sophie, with a little disclaimer. We wanted to both say no one is saying on this episode that you need to change your body or be worried about cellulite or stretch marks. This episode is purely for people who would like to reduce or get rid of those types of things. It's all about personal choice. And I know that's your ethos, isn't it, Sophie?
Absolutely. There's no one size fits all with any of these things. Some people are bothered by cellulite or stretch marks. Other people embrace them. The whole concept of stretch marks being your warrior marks from having born children, for example. So everyone's different in terms of how much something bothers them. So this isn't about saying cellulite or stretch marks are a bad thing, but if yours do bother you, what are your choices?
Yeah, exactly. Cellulite, first of all. How much is driven by DNA and just sheer luck, and how much is cause and effect?
So it's a little bit of both. Now, we have to remember that over 90% of women have cellulite. So this is something that genetically women are far more predisposed to. Mm-hmm. You know, there will be differences between women, so genetics does come into it. But there's also a fair amount that can be done through lifestyle. So the aging process causes the skin to change and makes cellulite appear worse. Mm-hmm. And then there's things to do with diet, for example. So we'll retain more fluid if we eat more salt and processed food, things like that. If you're overweight, you'll be more likely to have it. If you have a fairly sedentary lifestyle, that will make it worse. Pregnancy makes it worse. So there's all sorts of things about our lifestyle that play into it. So yes, genetics does come into it, but our lifestyles play a big part as well.
Right. Gosh, 90%, I hadn't realised that the number was that high. That's kind of reassuring, actually. So it's, you know, for us women, it's most of us.
Normal to have it. It is absolutely normal. It's very rare to find someone, even people who are really thin, can have cellulite.
Right. Yeah. Reassuring. And as you say, normal. There are all kinds of in-clinic treatments, and I know there's been huge strides forward in the body contouring space, but if we can start at a more entry-level approach, you've sort of covered this already, but if we can dive a bit deeper, how much truth is there that diet and exercise can cause or reduce things like cellulite?
Yeah, so exercise is a really useful one because you are promoting fluid drainage. You're keeping your circulation of all liquids in the body a little bit more efficient when you're exercising. And bearing in mind that cellulite is caused by a combination of fatty tissue that kind of pops through these fibrous bands that we have, mm-hmm. as well as fluid being retained within those. And yes, diet does play a role as well, for sure. So it is important to think about these things if you're wanting to make a real difference.
Yeah, as you say, so many factors dovetailing into this one area of cellulite. And we are getting onto other things like stubborn fat and loose skin as well.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, this is a big one. Creams, lotions, potions for either cellulite or again, stretch marks or anything similar on the body. What works, what doesn't, any key ingredients to look out for, maybe what's even on your shelf?
Oh, so it is tricky. There is no magic cream. There are creams that can improve the appearance of cellulite a little bit. So you might find ones with, for example, caffeine in.
Mm-hmm.
And that can improve the appearance of it. But we have to remember that the cause of the cellulite is the fatty tissue that's herniating through these fibrous bands, which is what gives it this dimply appearance, mm-hmm. and then the fluid retention within them. So nothing you do with a topical product is going to do anything about those fibrous bands. There is a really, really good product by Revision Skincare called the Body Firm, mm-hmm. but it is more about firming up skin rather than for treating the subcutaneous tissues, which with a topical product, you can't really reach. And for me, with all of these things, if we go to stretch marks and if we go to cellulite, one of the things you can look at doing is using topical retinoids, because you have to think about a stretch mark as a scar,
mm-hmm.
which has lost collagen. And cellulite is made to look worse by the aging of the skin that overlies it. So for both of those things, a retinoid is a good option. There are some retinoid body products, not lots of them actually, but Paula's Choice have one. And if someone has stretch marks, I will often recommend getting in there with a prescription strength retinoid, and preferably getting in there with that early when they're still red and look a bit more fresh. But those are the key ones, I would say.
I had never thought of using a retinoid on my body, and I don't know why I hadn't, because skin is skin.
Exactly. Yeah. The skin on the body is structurally different. So right. there are differences between facial and body. And if you think about how much many of us spend on facial skincare, it's not cost effective to treat the whole body with those products.
Mm-hmm.
But a little while ago, I did a little bit of research into looking at retinoids for the body. And I think at that point, Paula's Choice was the only one I found. But for me, the one that's on my shelf is the Revision Body Firm, which I really do rate that one as a product for skin that's losing its elasticity.
When I was pregnant, with both pregnancies actually, there's bio oil with the white and orange packaging that nearly every pregnant woman, it's quite cheap.
Yeah, and it's about hydration. So
yeah.
if you can prevent stretch marks, brilliant. And really all bio oil is doing is hydrating the skin. And there are many different products you can use to do that with. So they had a good marketing story around pregnancy. The two points in life where stretch marks are most likely to happen are pregnancy and then during periods of intense growth. So for a lot of people, they come during puberty. So I have some stretch marks from when I just very quickly in a short space of time grew from girl into woman.
Mm.
And that maybe is harder to predict and prevent. Whereas with pregnancy, we know a time frame within which our stomachs are going to grow quite considerably larger. Mm. So if we get in there and start to try and support the skin's health during that process, we can reduce the chance of developing stretch marks in the first place.
Yeah. And then also quickly, before I move on to my next question, I knew a beautician that swore by body brushing for cellulite. Actually, we're back on cellulite. I think there's some evidence around that. I think we've talked about that before.
Yeah, it's around lymphatic drainage. So bearing in mind what I said about the cellulite being a combination of the fat herniating through these fibrous bands and trapped lymphatic fluid.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can improve the circulation of that lymphatic fluid, you can improve the appearance of the cellulite. So yeah, body brushing, I do think, is a good option.
Because that brings me on to my next question. Deep tissue massage or Rolfing massage? Also, I met a French woman once who said, the quote, the lymphatic system is the toilet system of the body. And she and her beautiful Parisian friends swore by lymphatic drainage massage for keeping cellulite at bay. What do you reckon? Are these French women doing it all right and we're doing it all wrong?
I am a fan of lymphatic drainage massage for health, for well-being. I've had it in the past. I choose now more to have body balancer treatments rather than manual lymphatic drainage, simply because of the convenience of being able to do it on my terms at a time that suits me. But Rolfing, I think, is a little bit more around, it's a deep tissue massage, but more, I think, around structure of the body, whereas lymphatic drainage is a more specific technique to move fluid through the tissues. And there are some great specialists in this. So within London, Flavia Morellato and Dimple Amani are probably my two go-tos if someone's interested in having it.
Okay. We'll put those in the notes. And also, if somebody's thinking, what's the body balance? So we mentioned that on a previous podcast episode. So I'm going to put that in the notes as well so people can check that out.
Because
I know you're a huge fan of your body balance. I'm so sold on that. Which brings us to clinic grade treatments. Body balance, so obviously being one. Can we talk about these four key areas of things on the body if men or women choose to want to improve or reduce? In clinic, what would you recommend for cellulite?
So what we have to remember is that fat reduction treatments aren't going to work for cellulite. And again, most in-clinic treatments are about improving the appearance of cellulite, because unless you're breaking up those fibrous bands, they're not treating it. One of the ones we do a lot of is radiofrequency. So we use a multipolar radiofrequency, which also uses some suction to treat the cellulitic areas. And you often have to have very regular treatments for a period of about 8 to 10 weeks. And we combine that with the body balancer. And we get some lovely results with that. Mm-hmm. When it comes to breaking up those fibrous bands, there is a treatment which I don't personally offer, but it's called Sulfina, which is a semi-surgical procedure, and it does break up those fibrous bands. It's more invasive, but can give some good results if you're in the hands of a specialist. Mm-hmm. And there is an amazing technology which is available in a few places in the US that uses acoustic waves. It's not available in the UK yet, but I'm waiting very eagerly for that to launch over here, because I think that's exciting.
You're going to have a long queue. Are these all permanent, by the way?
The ones that are treated, you'll have broken up those fibrous bands, but you can get it in other areas, or it can become widespread or more widespread. There is also an injectable coming to market for cellulite, which could be interesting. Now, at this point, it will probably actually already be available by the time the podcast goes live, but I don't know enough about it yet to be able to share information. But that could be exciting. It will be a first injectable device for the prevention and treatment of cellulite. But how long-term that is, I can't comment on that yet.
All right. Okay, so watch this space. What about stretch marks? If somebody was in clinic and said, what do you have in clinic as a treatment for stretch marks? Or is it a case of creams and lotions mostly?
No, we can treat them using things like microneedling, potentially with some mesotherapy ingredients, and also radiofrequency microneedling. So devices like the Morpheus 8, we use nanofractional radiofrequency with our Venus Viva device, and the Profound RF can also be extremely good for stretch marks. We need to think about them as a scar. So treatments that are good for scarring, and actually that can include chemical peels and types of laser as well, can give some good results. I will always counsel people that this is about improving their appearance rather than getting rid of them.
Yeah, okay, good point. Stubborn fat. So some people complain about stubborn fat that they just can't shift on the thighs, on the tummy, anywhere really. What is there anything in clinic that can be done for that?
It depends on the distribution and on how much there is. But there's an excellent device called Cool Sculpting, which is good if you've got discrete pockets of fat that need reducing or that you'd like to reduce. So these have to be, with the exception of the outer thighs, which we can treat differently, in most areas it's a kind of a grabbable fat that gets suctioned into a vacuum applicator and frozen to about minus 11 degrees. And it kills about a third of the fat cells in the treated area. So this does lead to a permanent reduction in the number of fat cells. So that's quite impressive. There are also injectable lipolytics. So these are things that we can inject that break up the membranes of the fat cells, killing them. And of course, in some cases, we need to consider liposuction.
Right. Okay. Loose skin following either pregnancy or maybe significant weight loss. I have loose skin following a twin pregnancy. So when I lost my weight, because I'm not a big person, you know, people went, oh, you're back in your jeans. And I thought, yeah, I am, but I've got some loose skin. So I've got, no pun intended, some skin in the game for this question. My feeling is that only surgery can remove loose skin, or is that not the case?
It depends on the extent. If there's just a little bit of loose skin, then potentially we can treat it with non-surgical options like Profhilo. Their body product can be very good. Treating with things like radiofrequency microneedling can be very effective for body loose skin. Mm-hmm. But if you've got significant excess skin, then really surgery is the only option. And that would usually involve something like an abdominoplasty, so a tummy tuck. And it's a very, very common procedure for women post-pregnancy. The other thing you can, of course, do that is helpful is to try not to lose your post, and a whole controversial conversation here, but try not to lose that weight too quickly. If you lose it more slowly, your skin will have more of a chance to contract. There's so much conversation around the pressure on women post-pregnancy to get their pre-baby body back. And this is another reason, just to be kind to yourself, take it slowly.
You're so right, which is why I love some of these influencers that do the opposite. There's one called, I think she's called Chessie King, that I follow on Insta. Anyway, she's great at going, look, this is my body post-pregnancy, this is the reality. And a few celebs have done that too. So
yeah, I think one of my favourites, who actually I met in person on a holiday and have been following since, is she's called Danae Mercer. And she's the former editor-in-chief of Women's Health in Dubai. And she had a baby, and even before that, she was very honest about the reality of women's bodies and about what posing well can do. And I love the fact that she shows her body the same outfit, the same light, but show one where she looks really full of cellulite and another where she looks like the most perfect, almost airbrushed figure. And she'll show what is airbrushed and what is real, what simple posing can do. I think it's really empowering to see.
Yeah, you must get approached all the time by various treatment manufacturers as well as product creators, which must be lovely because you get to, I assume, try everything out personally. What's your skew on what you decide to bring into clinic or maybe not?
Do you know, it's a tricky one. Do I get to try everything personally? I try to if it's something I'm serious about bringing in. But of course, it also means I have to have the indication. So sometimes it might be that someone else is better suited to have it and I monitor their results. But really for me, my criteria for bringing something in, is it safe and does it work? I want to know that a product's been through, or a device has been through, rigorous testing, that it adheres to safety standards, that my patients aren't going to come to harm by having it. And then I also want to know that if my patients are investing in a treatment, that they're going to have results that are worth spending their money on. Those are my kind of key parameters. So I look at data that the manufacturers have, whether these are published clinical studies or sometimes it's white papers, and really sit down and look at what they're giving me and what that means. Rather than going, oh, yes, we've got them, I want to look at them and go, but are they any good?
Yeah.
And I'll also tend to speak to colleagues. So with machines, for example, often in the US, they have them before we do. So it's great to pick up the phone, speak to someone over there and understand their experience of a device, because it guides me a little bit then on how I think it might work for us.
Yeah. And it was also reassuring to hear you mention liposuction, because obviously that goes way, way back many years. But if it works, keep it in clinic, keep it in the rotation. So you're not going by hype, you're going by what genuinely works.
Exactly. And like everything, there are some impressive evolutions. So some of the results being achieved with liposuction are really fantastic. And there's a newish technique that's just launched in the UK, pioneered by an American surgeon called AirSculpt, which is through the tiniest little incisions, which mean that your downtime is much less. Now, I am kind of watching and seeing what I think of the results coming through in the UK before I start recommending it widely. But it looks promising. It looks exciting.
So we started this chat with a reminder or a little note that everything we discuss is based on personal choice. We would never suggest that anyone has to change their body unless it's for health reasons. So I wanted to end with a quote from Cindy Crawford, who back in 2009 said in an interview, "If a magazine wants to print a picture of me on the beach at the worst possible angle and say I have cellulite, I'm like, guess what? I do. I never said I didn't. I've had two kids and I'm 43, so leave me alone." Great quote. I know that, Sophie, you have several high-profile women and men on your client list, obviously without naming names. I guess it's now a good time just to remind people that all kinds of people, including famous people with access to a lot of money, do have cellulite and other things, and that it's very normal.
Absolutely. It is so important to realise that this is something that almost every woman and some men have, and that includes those really famous people who we look at and admire all over social media. Some of them are better at camouflaging it than others. And for me, what I really admire is when, as we just talked about with Danae or with Chessie King, these women who use their platforms to empower by showing what's real and what isn't. But it is very normal. I'd love to see that those, I'm using kind of inverted commas, unflattering photographs taken of these beautiful, amazing celebrities on their beach holidays and posted in all the tabloid press. I'd love to see that ending, because that's just not fair. It's just not what it's about, shaming people for having something that is totally normal and creating this unrealistic impression of ourselves.
If all else fails, just get a really good fake tan.
Yeah, that definitely makes a difference.
Well, this has been another really educational chat. You've answered so much in such a brilliantly clear way. As always, thank you, Sophie.
Thank you, Bea.
And that ends our podcast. If you want to explore more of what we talked about, simply head to the show notes. We've done all of the research and noting down of names, ideas, any studies we mentioned, so you don't have to go digging. To be ahead of the latest episode, press follow on Apple Podcasts. That's the little cross on the top right. Or simply hit follow on Spotify or whichever podcast app you use. Also, do follow Sophie on Instagram and TikTok. There's loads of great content and little explainers on there. Search for Dr. Sophie Schotter. Finally, if you're close to London or Kent, you can book a consultation with Sophie and find out more about who she is and the range of treatments and services she offers via drsophieschotter.com. And by the way, there's some great blog content on the website too. My name's Fiona Mattesini. On behalf of myself and Sophie, please do take a moment to rate and review the show. It all helps. And of course, thanks for listening.